Let's turn to Psalm 27. And we're actually, our community group, since we're talking about our community group, we're actually making a move. We're going to move to the Pagemont and Becky's house in September. So looking forward to that and meeting in their beautiful home. Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, yet I will be confident. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word, Lord. Every word in the scriptures is inspired. Lord, every word is precious to us. Every word speaks to us of your great love and your great mercy and kindness to us. And this morning, you speak to specific areas in our lives, and we ask you, Father, to encourage us and to build us up in our most holy faith in Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Russell, I feel like this is this feeding back? Do you hear a ring, guys? Is there a ring? Maybe it's just in my ear, my own ears. Maybe I have tinnitus. There we go. Is that better? Okay. All right. Thanks. Working this thing out with this headphone. You may not know this, but the Brooklyn Bridge opened on May 23rd, 1883. It was at that time the longest suspension bridge in the world. And for that reason, a lot of people were not confident that it could hold a great amount of weight. A week later, on Memorial Day, as a throng of thousands of people was crossing the bridge, a woman lost her footing and tripped. And a woman near her screamed, "The bridge is falling." And that created a panic and a stampede. 12 people were killed, many others injured because of panic. They did not have confidence that the bridge could hold them. A little while later, P.T. Barnum marched a ton of elephants across, including Jumbo, just to prove and help people to be confident the bridge was able to hold them. I want to talk this morning about conquering fear with confidence. Conquering fear with confidence. We don't see it that much in this psalm, but David had a lifelong battle with fear. That's why he opens this psalm up talking about fear. Whom shall I fear? Of whom shall I be afraid? My heart shall not fear. If this was the only psalm by David, we'd be saying, I can't relate to this guy because he didn't have fear. But we have other psalms like Psalm 56 in verse 3, where he says, when I am afraid. When I am afraid, his heart was afraid at times, I put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust and am not afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? You hear the shift. What happens between verse 3, when I am afraid, and verse 4, I am not afraid? What happens between there? How he gets to the not afraid is through building his confidence up in God. He conquers fear with confidence, not confidence in himself, confidence in his God. So I want to ask you a question this morning. Do you, like David, battle with fear? Do you face fear? Fear comes in a lot of different directions, and the reality is, There are very few people who are absolutely fearless. In fact, there's a woman who is fearless. The part of her brain that gives signals fear is not working. And so that is such a danger to her life that they only refer to her by her initials. Because fear actually does good things in our lives. God gave us fear. Fear is not all bad. You don't want to have no fear. But we don't want to have fear driving us instead of confidence in God. We don't want to be afraid that the bridge of our life is going to collapse, or that harm is coming, or the danger is just around the bend, that some enemy is going to destroy our life. Fear is an alarm. It's meant to be an alarm to take action when there's potential danger. Think of fear as one of those little red boxes on the walls in buildings that said, in case of emergency, break glass. It's like that. In case of an emergency, break glass. The problem is that fear often is like a prankster that's breaking the glass and pulling the alarm constantly. And so we can walk around with alarms ringing all the time. We might lie awake at night with alarms ringing. We might walk through life with alarms ringing. We interact with people with alarms ringing. And we face different kinds of fear. It's like we have tinnitus of the heart. There's always a bell ringing in our heart. And that bell is fear. But there's different kinds of fear. Worry is fear. It's a family member of the fear family. Fear moves us to worry. Do you ever worry? We all worry sometimes. Worry is, what if? What if? What if this happens? What if that happens? What if this doesn't happen? And we worry. You know, worry is an interesting word. You ever hear about a dog that grabs a sock and worries it? He just bites it and then he just does this until it starts to rip and shred. That's a pretty good image of what fear does to us, worry does to us. It just kind of shakes us and we begin to tear. Our confidence begins to tear apart. Our strength begins to tear apart. We start to worry and fray. And worry always is a moving target. You know, you think, boy, if you have a worry in your heart right now, here's what you're probably thinking. If I could fix that thing that I'm worried about, I wouldn't worry. But for many of us, worry is a moving target. As soon as you fix that thing that you're worried about, worry'd be looking around and trying to figure out something else to target to get you to worry about. Worry says this: in case of anything, break glass. In case of anything, pull the alarm. But fear comes in other ways as too. Insecurity and social anxiety. I have heard famous people who are in front of people all the time talk about having social anxiety in certain settings. Social anxiety is a real thing. Insecurity is a real thing. It's a fear. It's fear of what people may think of us. Anybody relate to that? Fear of what people think about us. Insecurity. I'm not secure. What's insecure? I'm not confident. I'm not confident. Stress. Don't raise your hands, but anybody experiencing stress? Stress is kind of like the fear under pressure. You got a deadline. You got something coming up. You got 50 things coming up. You've got a calendar screaming at you. Am I going to make it? Am I going to do it? Am I going to get it done? How do I juggle all the things on my plate? Anybody feel stressful? It's fear. Am I living up to people's expectations? It's fear. Or it comes in the form of panic attacks. People get panic attacks. Panic attack is in case of, I don't even know what, break glass. People don't often know why they get panic attacks. It's not even attached to anything. It's just a panic attack. It's like intense fear where you start to sweat, your palms get sweaty, your heart palpitates. There's just this intense fear, and you don't even know what it's built on or based on. Like the crowd crossing the Brooklyn Bridge, a lot of fears that drive us are groundless, are baseless. If those thousands of people were confident that bridge would hold them, no one would have died that day. No one would have panicked. No one would have screamed, "The bridge is falling," because they were confident that it wasn't. But we got to take a moment while we're looking at fears to recognize not all fears are groundless. Like, some fears are legitimate. I mean, in other words, break the glass, pull the alarm. David had real enemies. David wasn't paranoid. David had real enemies. There were people whispering in the shadows, plotting against him, plotting to destroy his kingship, plotting to kill him. The shadows held real enemies for David, on top of the enemies in his own group that were hiding in the shadows and whispering about him. How can we get him? How can we destroy him? He also had armies mounting attacks against him in Israel. So he's got enemies in the shadows, and he's got enemies on the battlefield. He had warriors coming against him. He had real reason to be afraid. There are real dangers out there. There are people who are going to come into your life who, for whatever reason, are going to be gunning for you. They're going to be against you. I'm reaching back a number of years, but when I was a single guy and I was an RA in a Bible school, so my dorm, I was the RA, and I remember this one guy. He came into the school, and he just had a chip on his shoulder, and I was his RA. I was his authority. He did not like authority. So I remember one day I'm outside working on something, and he comes up and he says, "Alan," he said, "I just want to let you know, every time I see you, I feel like punching you in the face." Thanks. But there are, and he never did, but there are real dangers. There are people who will gun for you, maybe at work, maybe in your family, maybe in your neighborhood, maybe just somebody who, you know, and there's a real legitimate reason to be afraid, to pull the alarm. You might lose a job. You've lost a job. You laid off. You don't know what's going to be next. Maybe you have a health crisis that you're facing. Maybe you're concerned for a loved one who's going in a bad direction. There's the fear of death. Every one of us, we're going to have to face death one day. We're going to cross that river. There can be the fear of death. With all these fears, the real ones, the ones like the Brooklyn Bridge where it's just, we just don't have confidence. With all these fears, life could be one big emergency, breaking glass constantly, day in, day out, pulling the alarm, ringing in our minds and hearts. Fear. So what was David's secret? How did he move into fearless, into no fear? How could he face real dangers and real enemies and say, "I am not afraid. My heart shall not fear"? How could he do it? I submit to you, the big answer, more than courage. We think sometimes the opposite of fear is courage. And in some cases, that's true. And courage is a good thing. And David had plenty of it. And we should seek courage. But courage is a kind of thing when we're facing real challenges, maybe something we've never done before. We're stepping out into a new avenue, or we're facing, you know, an enemy that's coming straight at us, and we are facing it with courage. Courage is a beautiful thing. But I want to submit to you that most of the fears that we face every day benefit more from confidence than courage. Confidence brings courage. If you feel insecure. And you are afraid to go up to someone new and talk to them. Yeah, you could say it could take courage, but I would say it takes confidence to step forward into that new situation. Confidence, but confidence in what? That's David's secret. Not confidence in himself. We build up our confidence in ourselves and lean entirely on that, we are one day going to find it fail us. It will collapse one day. But confidence in God will never collapse. We will never collapse. That's David's secret. He knew, he was confident his God would hold him up, would never collapse under him. And so he says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" The fear is scattered because he knows the Lord is his light and his salvation. One thing I've noticed is fears get bigger in the dark. Have you ever noticed that? Fears get bigger in the dark. The same house we walk into confidently in the daytime, we maybe walk in a little more with the imagination going in the dark, and the first thing we do is flip on a light. Am I right? Do you do that? Fears get bigger in the dark. I love to swim in the ocean. I love body surfing and I love waves and I love the ocean, but only during the day. I've noticed we've walked along the ocean beach at night, and I don't know. I mean, I'm pretty sure it's the same water, but there is something different about it at night. The same water that says, "Come on in and have a good time," during the daytime says, "You better stay away." At nighttime, there are dangers lurking under those dark waves. The waves, the water looks dark and mysterious at night. Who knows what's under there? Probably the same things under there in the daytime. But there's something, fears get bigger in the dark. We live in a dark world. There are things that really do go bump in the night. There is a genuine evil out there. There are very real dangers. There are very real threats. There is the darkness of the unknown. The future is dark to us in that we don't know what's around the bend. We do not know what's around the bend. But the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? What shall I fear? The Lord is my confidence. He lights up my life. There is no dark place in my life when the Lord is the light, is my light and my salvation. There is no enemy coming at me that he cannot save me from. No crisis that he cannot save and preserve me from. Jesus saved our souls from eternal wrath. There is nothing that Jesus cannot save us from. He is our Savior. And that doesn't just kick in our last breath. It kicks in right now, right here, in every situation. He is our salvation. Amen. And so every situation we face, you lost a job, he is your Savior. You've got a health crisis, he is your Savior. You're walking through a time of trouble with a loved one or a relationship, he is your Savior. We don't need to fear the future. We don't need to fear the dark. God promises all things work together for good for those who love him. All things work together for good for those who love him. He says that nothing in our future can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. So we can be confident in the Lord. We can take the next step that he has revealed to us, knowing he will light up that step. And then if we take the next step, he will light it up as we go. He may not light up the next 5 years for you, but he'll light up the next step. The word, your word is a lamp unto my feet. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We have no idea. But we know who holds our tomorrow. Amen. The Lord is my light and my salvation. He is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? This, to me, is such a beautiful picture of our lives being protected by God. Our lives, the well-being of our lives from beginning to end. I'm confident that God was the stronghold of my life 20 years ago. I'm confident that God is the stronghold of my life today. And I'm confident that He is the stronghold of my life 20 years from now. The Lord is the stronghold of our lives from beginning to end as we trust in Jesus Christ. Nothing can enter your life unless God allows it. And if God allows it as a believer in Christ, then He's allowed it for a loving purpose. Be confident of that. Be confident He is the stronghold that your life is built on, that the storm cannot blow that stronghold down, that nothing you fear is going to cause that foundation, the firm foundation of Jesus Christ, to collapse. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. You're walking along in life and someone screams your life is collapsing? Don't believe them. Don't believe them. If God is for us, who can be against us? That's what David's saying. There's an army out there. Then he looks at his God and he says, if God is for me, they're just puny. What can mere mortals do to me? We need to understand it. What can a mortal do to you? What can a mortal do to you? Nothing if God is for you. And then in verse 4, David writes this. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple. One thing, David says, one thing I ask, one thing I seek. My life comes down to one thing. My priorities come down to one thing. My confidence comes down to one thing, the Lord and His presence, and to see the beauty of the Lord. It reminds me of what Jesus said to Martha when she was all worried and flustered and trying to get the food on the table and the table all set and all the preparations for lunch and everything. And there's her sister Mary sitting at Jesus' feet, just soaking in good teaching. And she said, Jesus, tell Mary to help me. And Jesus, if you remember, He said to her, you're anxious and troubled about many things, but only one thing is needed. And Mary chose that one thing, to sit at my feet. One thing is necessary. Just one thing. Fear turns us into Marthas. We're troubled and we're anxious. The problem isn't that she's fixing lunch and that she's working. The problem is that she's fearful and anxious and troubled. Fear takes us our eyes off of God and focuses us on many things. But really, fear is kind of Satan's substitute for faith. Faith fixes our eyes on God. Fear focuses our eyes on ourselves. You see, the reason Martha was anxious and troubled about many things isn't because there were many things. It's because Martha's eyes were on herself. You are not afraid about many things because of those things. Because if those things were in someone else's life that you didn't even know, you wouldn't be fearful. You're fearful because they're in your vision. And they're in your vision because you're fearful about them affecting you. I'm fearful about them affecting me. Ultimately, it comes down to our eyes are on ourselves. We try to build up our confidence in ourselves. But at some point, we face things that are bigger than ourselves. The person who's self-confident could go through a lot of life tackling this, conquering that, winning this, but ultimately, they're building on a bridge that is going to collapse. The only firm foundation we can build on is the foundation of Christ. And we grow in our confidence in God, not by looking in the mirror and staring at ourselves, not by trying to figure out where am I at, what am I doing right, what am I doing wrong, is my faith strong enough, is my faith too weak, it's by looking at Christ. David says, one thing I desire to gaze at your beauty, I desire to see you. So let me just add this, if you struggle with some things like social anxiety or insecurity, however you want to call it, I'm telling you, that's not because of the people that come into your life. It's because your eyes are on yourself. I know whereof I speak. And as we grow in confidence in God, we don't feel like we have to earn and perform and do all these things to meet up to, what are they thinking about me? What are they? Did I say something dumb? Did I say do something dumb? Are they thinking bad thoughts about me? Are they liking me? Are they accepting me? See, we get our eyes on that. What we do is we try too hard. We're trying so hard. Have you ever noticed that? When you really, really care about someone's opinion, you try so hard. Every word, you know, you're just flowing and talking with people, and then all of a sudden a situation comes up and you're concerned, maybe it's your boss, and all of a sudden you're focusing on, did I say the right thing? Did that come off dumb? We're focused on ourselves. One thing. Take a beat. One thing I ask. To see him, to be confident in him. He accepts me in Christ. He loves me with an everlasting love. I don't need to care that much about what people think. I'm not saying we shouldn't care about people. They're not the same thing. Caring about people is not the same thing as caring about what they think about us. It's not the same thing. When we know we are truly confident that we are beloved in Christ, and he has our life from beginning to end, we can say, what can mere mortals do to me? What can man do to me? The same is true of stress. Are you under a lot of stress right now? Trust that God will give you the grace you need to get done what you need to get done when you need to get done. Give that stress and pressure to God. Get your eyes on the Lord. And it's going to work out. Now, before we close here, I want to talk about an elephant in the room. At least for me, I feel like this is an elephant in my room. Maybe it's not in yours, but David says this. He says, one thing I seek, one thing I've asked of the Lord, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. I don't know why, but that just kind of hits me. It kind of sounds like David just wants to sit and gaze at beauty. And that doesn't sound, this is not going to be politically correct, but it just doesn't sound very manly to me, you know? Like the beauty. Guys are not that into beauty. Guys don't buy beauty products. We don't go for beauty treatments. I don't want you to tell me, Alan, you look beautiful this morning, okay? It just doesn't, it's not something, you know, like, I want to gaze at the power and the strength and the wisdom and the glory of my God. But the beauty of the Lord. But here's what I think David means by the beauty of the Lord. We live in an ugly world. I mean, there's a lot of beauty in the world from God, but there's a lot of ugliness. Amen? There is a lot of ugliness in this world. Hatred, jealousy, anger, betrayal, evil. David is saying, I've seen enough ugly in my life. I've seen enough ugly. I want to gaze at the beauty of the Lord. I've been betrayed by friends, David says. I've heard whispers of conspiracies against me only because I tried to do the right thing and tried to be a good king. I've got people ready to eat me alive if given half a chance. I've seen a man I've loved and been loyal to reward me by trying to kill me. I've seen one of my sons rape his half-sister and another one of my sons rebel against me and try to steal the throne by killing me. I've seen enough ugly in the world. I want to gaze at the beauty of the Lord. We're not talking makeup. We're not talking the Lord's hair being done. We're not talking about beauty like that. We're talking about the beauty of grace, the beauty of love, the beauty of loyalty, the beauty of mercy, the beauty of holiness, the beauty of righteousness, the beauty of power in perfect balance with goodness. We're talking about that kind of beauty. We're looking at the beauty of God in his all that he is. It is beautiful. So when we are tempted to be fearful, do what David did and look at the beauty of God, who he is, his unconditional love, his mercy, his strength, his grace through Christ. You know, one of the most beautiful and one of the most ugly moments in all of history is the cross. It's ugly beyond anything because there man in his evil crucified the Son of God, the truly innocent one, the beautiful one. It is the height of evil. But when we look at the cross, as believers, we see the beauty of God's perfect plan, his love demonstrated like nowhere else in history, his grace, his mercy, his kindness, his sacrifice for us. And we are awestruck by the beauty of the cross. Confidence in God, as we close this morning, is what we're built for. We're not built for fear. Fear is like, you know, once in a while, in case of emergency, break that glass and pull that alarm. That's just a good part of life. But we're not built to be pulling the alarm and breaking the glass every single day. We're built for faith. I want to read from Dr. E. Stanley Jones this quote. I am inwardly fashioned for faith, not for fear. Fear is not my native land. Faith is. I am so made that worry and anxiety are sand in the machinery of life. Faith is the oil. I live better by faith and confidence than by fear, doubt, and anxiety. In anxiety and worry, my being is gasping for breath. These are not my native air. But in faith and confidence, I breathe freely. These are my native air. If your machinery is a little clogged up this morning, if you're gasping for air, say, God, help me to grow in my confidence in you. You are worthy. You will not collapse. You've got my life. Help me believe and trust in you. And then be practical and spend time gazing at God. Spend time in his word. Spend time praying. Spend time with God's people. It is the better way to live by faith and confidence. And listen, I know what it is to battle through fear. I know what it is to battle through worry and anxiety and get to the other side. I was so afraid. When I was in college, I had to give a presentation, public speech. I was so afraid, I shook like a leaf. My voice shook like a leaf. I was so afraid of speaking in public. The only thing I was more afraid of than speaking in public was singing in public. I kid you not. First few times I got up in front of people, with a guitar. My hands were shaking. My voice was shaking. But I felt like God wanted to do something in those areas. And the only way it could get through is to go through the fear. See, if we run away from everything we fear, we're going to find ourselves always running away. Now, there are certain fears I'm not running towards. I'm not a rock climber. I'm not looking to scale some mountain anywhere. I'm not looking to jump out of an airplane with a parachute. But God will call you to do some things, and you're going to have to fight through fear to get to the other side of that. And God will help you to do that. Put your confidence in the Lord. David says in the closing of this verse, psalm, and we're not going to go through it all, but he says, I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Remain confident in that. You're going to see the goodness of God while you're still alive here. And then he says, wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Sometimes it doesn't come immediately, but be confident and wait for the Lord and see what God does. Let's stand together.